But I'm just going to look at the three main characters in that those stories that we heard. I'm going to begin with Jairus, the synagogue leader. Now this, actually I chose this picture deliberately because here is Jairus kneeling at the feet of Jesus. A very undignified and uncomfortable place for a ruler of the synagogue to be in. He was important, he was respected, he had power, he had influence. And here he was at the feet of an itinerant preacher begging him to heal his daughter. What was Jesus' response? He honoured that man's faith. As far as we know, Jairus didn't have a physical problem that needed healing. But maybe in that act of submitting himself to Jesus, Jesus was able to reach out and touch Jairus in a place that when he was full of his status and importance, Jesus wasn't able to reach, but Jesus knew needed touching. Jesus cared so much for that important man of status that he was able to reach him and touch him when Jairus made that first move. What about our unnamed daughter here? Jairus's daughter. We don't even, not even told her name. She was just Jairus's daughter. 12-year-old girls, I'm afraid to tell you, in Bible times were not very important. Women as a whole were not important. Girls weren't given the same level of education, and their expected role was to be a homemaker and a mother. And nobody's denigrating that as roles, but that was the only, well, there wasn't any choice by and large. When we read the Bible, the women that we read about are exceptional. It wasn't normal that they were business people or leaders in any area of life. It was very much that she was just a 12-year-old daughter. But Jesus took her seriously. He took time out to show how much he cared. And interestingly, when you read it in the Bible in Luke chapter 8, that Jesus told the parents not to talk about their daughter's healing. We've got a picture, next one, of Jesus there with the daughter. But he told them not to say anything because actually he knew the facts would speak for themselves. Actions speak louder than words. And Jesus was concerned for his ministry. He didn't want to just be known as a miracle worker. Oh yeah, just turn up to Jesus, he'll heal you. Just done like that. He wanted people to listen to his words that would bring healing not only to their physical needs, but to their spiritual needs too. So he took her seriously and he knew her needs, but he knew the needs of his ministry too. And thirdly, finally, the outcast woman. So this woman was not only a woman, which was bad enough, but she had been bleeding for a very, very long time, 12 years. And she tried everything that she could. And in this crowd, it was really difficult for her to get through, but she fought her way through because she was desperate. Because of her condition, she was a complete outcast. Strict interpretation of the Jewish law meant that men should not be engaging with her, shouldn't be even be looking at her, because that would make them unclean. So if they knew about this, then they would be wanting absolutely nothing to do with her, not even to look at her. But she was determined. I think, hats off to her. She was determined to get her way through that crowd and touch Jesus. But Jesus didn't let it go. He turned around and said, "Who was it that touched me?" And of course the disciples, Jesus, it's a crowd. There's loads of people touching you. He knew there was something different about the way that he had been touched. But Jesus didn't want her just to disappear into the crowd. The two of them would have known. But he wanted the crowd to have a different view of that woman. He wanted her to identify herself, for her to know that it wasn't the cloak or his robe or whatever it was that she touched that had the magical properties. It wasn't that, but it was her faith in him that had healed her. He also, of course, may have wanted the crowd to know that he accepted this woman as she was, with her problem with this bleeding, that in his eyes, she was not unclean. She was God's creation, and she deserved as much attention and respect as everybody else. A different view to the norm. And there's a difference, isn't there, between the big crowd there that were curious about Jesus, that wanted to see him, but how many actually did what she did and reached out and touched him? And today there are loads of us in the world that are vaguely familiar with Jesus, a bit about him, but nothing in so many people's lives is actually touched by reaching out for Jesus, not in a physical way, or perhaps in a physical way, but in our lives, reaching out with faith so that he can release his healing power. Are we curious about God, or do we reach out in faith, knowing that his mercy will bring the healing that we need to our mind, our body, or our spirit? Perhaps it's only when we're very desperate sometimes. Some of you may remember the disgraced MP, Jonathan Aitken, full of importance. But he was disgraced, had to go to court, was sent to prison. And when he was in prison, then he reached out to God. And just recently, he has been ordained as a prison chaplain. But would that have happened if he had not been brought to low, to justice? Probably not. He would have been quite okay, thank you very much, carrying on as he was. It's not for me to judge, but it does raise that question. So, what does that all mean for us today? I've alluded to at the beginning, there is no easy answer as to why God heals some people and not others. Our prayer chain is full of both. And we know that healing doesn't always take place the way we think it's going to. That's not what Jairus went for. He went to look out for his daughter. But hopefully he found healing for himself in his experience with Jesus. But healing is not our right. Jesus and the woman were humble in their approach. The daughter had the approach made on her behalf. But hopefully we remember that Jesus cared while he was on earth for the people that he met face to face, and he cares for us now. Jesus valued the child and the outcast woman as much as he did the man of status. And that means there is healing available for all of us, regardless of our status, our gender, or anything else. What a wonderful thing to remember. And I'm not just talking about physical healing, but healing in all sorts of areas of our lives, in relationships, all sorts. I'm sure we could share stories where that has happened. But we don't always remember it. When we're in times of need, times of crisis, we don't remember. We're just so absorbed in ourselves. And so now we've got a little confession that says that we are sorry to God. So I'd like us to say this together, to say to Jesus, we are sorry that we don't remember that he wanting to heal us. Together? Jesus, we are sorry that we don't always remember that you love us and want to help us through difficult times. Please help our faith in you to grow more and more. Amen. When I was here having a bit of a tidy up during the week, wearing a different hat, I found this tin. It was on top of the pigeonholes up there. I thought, what on earth's that? Somebody's made this in one of our groups, I presume. And it says faith. And it's feeling afraid, I trust him. I thought, ooh, I think I might use that on Sunday morning. And then I opened it up, and inside are two very useful pieces of paper. One with a quote from Joshua. When be strong and courageous, do not be terrified or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Which is one that we used at Holiday Club last year. Good to remember. And a prayer, which I think is for all of us. Lord, I am so grateful that you are always with me and that you can help me face up to my fears so that I'm not afraid anymore. Please help me with all the things I'm afraid of. So that may be illness, but maybe not. Help me to remember that you are always with me so that I don't need to be scared anymore. Amen. How wonderful that God just brought that into my life this week. If you are the leader or the child that, or young person that made that, would like to claim it later, you may. But that was a great thing. So, I bet we're all thinking perhaps of ourselves or somebody else that needs to know that Jesus can heal and wants to heal. So just as our prayer, I'd like you to think of somebody that needs healing, maybe physical healing or a difficult relationship, people that perhaps have been bereaved recently. And I'd just like you to hold them either in your hands like that, or we've got a picture coming up about making a heart like that. And we'll just think about that person. We'll bring them to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you know before we even open our lips or our minds, you know our needs and the needs of the people that we love and care for. And we entrust them to you for your care and your healing. In Jesus' name, amen.